From NPR and WBUR Boston, I'm Robin Young.
I'm Jeremy Hobson. It's Here and Now. Coming up, negotiations on Iran's nuclear program are about to resume. What impact will today's bombing have on the talks?
We take up that up first. Let's go to Beirut, Lebanon, where a lawmaker from the militant political group Hezbollah is promising retaliation for the bombings which killed 23 and injured 140 at the Iranian embassy in Lebanon today. Sounds of the aftermath of the bombing. Al-Qaeda claimed responsibility for the attack. Sunni Al-Qaeda fighters backed the insurgents in the civil war in neighboring Syria. Hezbollah and Iran backed the largely Shia Syrian regime. So that civil war is now playing out as a proxy war in Lebanon. Thanasi Kambanis is a reporter and fellow at the Century Foundation in Beirut. Thanasi, there have been these kinds of sectarian attacks before in Lebanon. Is this some sort of a tipping point?
I wouldn't say it's a tipping point yet, but there's a good reason why today's attack worried people more than any of the previous ones. As you described, there's a regional proxy war that has Iran and Hezbollah on one side and the Sunni world on the other. Today's attack targeted what is legally sovereign Iranian territory, the Iranian embassy in Beirut. It's a symbol on one side for the Iranian Hezbollah project. And on the other side, it's a symbol of the sort of meddling Shia axis. So for a bomb to go off, or actually a pair of apparent suicide bombers to go off in front of that embassy, is a really provocative act, and one that I think gives people pause and wonders if this could make the conflict really escalate here in Lebanon.
So it has to do with Iran and Iran's backing of the Assad regime in Syria and the Shia-Sunni divide, as you say. But how much does it also have to do with the thousands of Sunni Syrians who are fleeing that country, moving into Lebanon, and coming, you know, in some cases into Hezbollah strongholds? You have, you know, these insurgents right up against the Hezbollah people in Lebanon who are backing the regime that chased the insurgents out of Syria.
I mean, that's exactly it. There are literally millions of Syrians who have been pushed out of the country, and these refugees come from all sides of the conflict. The basic question we're all asking, is this war going to stay inside Syria, or is this war going to spill out and engulf the neighboring countries, including Lebanon? The question today was not just who did it, but how will the people targeted react? Of course, there are millions of enraged, displaced people, and a lot of them are living here in Beirut. Some of them are living right under Hezbollah's control, and Hezbollah is the reason why they were forced out of their homes in the first place. It's no surprise that some of these people are going to be motivated to strike against their main enemy, Hezbollah or Iran.
Well, and stay with Iran for a second, because these explosions took place a few hours before Iran and Lebanon were set to face off in a World Cup qualifier soccer game. The game was postponed, but is there a sense that this was timed to coincide with that game?
I don't think it would be pegged to something as specific as that sports match, or even something as specific as the ongoing negotiations between Iran and the U.S., but all these things feed into it. So there are parties here and around the region that detest Iran, that detest Hezbollah, and would like to turn back what they see as Iran's expansion all over the region. And they would be happy to see Iran embarrassed in something as basic as a sports match, or set back in something as strategically consequential as the nuclear negotiations with the United States.
Yeah. By the way, we've said that an Al-Qaeda group is claiming responsibility, but fingers are pointing every which way. Iran is blaming Israel, Hezbollah blaming Saudi Arabia. Are we sure that it was an Al-Qaeda group?
We don't know who did this. And the group that claimed credit is a group that has claimed credit before for improbable attacks. Reason suggests that the people behind this attack are the jihadist strains of the Syrian rebellion. I interpret Iran's blaming of Israel actually as a very encouraging sign, because, again, all reason points to a Sunni jihadist group being responsible for the attack. If Iran blames Israel, they're essentially saying, we want to calm the situation down, because it's a way of saying, look, even if we think the Sunni jihadists did it, we don't want to exacerbate tensions. We don't want to concentrate everyone's minds on this emerging rift around the region. So we're gonna pick the common enemy and use that as our rhetorical focal point, and that reduces the chance of some hothead retaliating against the Sunni target.
And it's just a reminder too that while foes tend to blend in many Americans' minds, Al Qaeda and Iran are sworn enemies, and always have been.
Yeah, that, I mean, that's an incredibly important thing to remember. The Syrian war has in some ways actually made it simpler to see who's on which side. And we're in the middle of a regional Cold War. And this Cold War pits the U.S. allies, Saudi Arabia, and a bunch of Sunnis against Hezbollah and Iran. This Cold War really took off when we invaded Iraq a decade ago, and it's never stopped, even when we've stopped paying attention to it.
Thanasi Kambanis, Beirut-based reporter and fellow at the Century Foundation. Thanasi, thanks so much for your time.
Always good to talk to you, Robin.